To Acts, to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to be in verses 17 through 24. So Acts chapter 20 and verses 17 through 24. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time together tonight. Father, we ask that you would just remove all distractions, even remove the distractions of our own thoughts. Help us, Father, just to hear from heaven tonight. Help our thoughts to be established. Lord, you tell us in your word that if we commit our ways unto you, that you will establish our thoughts, and we commit this hour to you. We truly, Lord, want to learn what the Bible says. We want to be encouraged. We want to be directed, and we want wisdom and insight that only you can give. And Father, we want to be drawn closer to you. So Lord, help us to submit ourselves to you and to submit our ways to your ways. Help us to be in the center of your will. Father, I ask that you bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about attitude, because attitude is everything in the Christian life. Attitude is everything in the Christian life. Attitude really is everything in a person's life, because how a person thinks will determine how they respond to things in their life. It will determine if they're going to win or lose. You know, when I was a young boy and played soccer for many years, often we would play teams that were much better than us, and we'd have some of our own teammates already just throwing in the towel, just giving up because they see these big kids. They see them, you know, warming up and how they are just, they're able just to, you know, do some fancy things with the soccer ball and stuff. But that never, ever bothered me. I just wanted to get out there and play and have fun, because I loved playing soccer. And it's like the game hasn't even started. So why have the defeated attitude before you even, you know, play the game? It's the same with life. How we wake up, how we face every day determines, it's really determined about our attitude. Now, there's times where we do wake up in the morning and, you know, let's be honest, we don't want to get out of bed. We don't want to face the day. Maybe because we know we have things that we have to do that we really don't want to do. Or maybe, you know, the prior day was kind of bad and therefore we're not looking forward to the next day. All right. But if we have a good attitude that, you know what, it is a new day and I'm just going to believe that things are going to be good today, and I'm just going to trust the Lord and let the Lord do what his will is, and I know God will be with me and God will guide me through the day. There's just something about having a positive attitude, something about having a good attitude. Now, when we look at Acts chapter 20, we look at these verses. Paul is making his way back to Jerusalem, all right? He stops by. He wants to spend some time with some of the pastors from Ephesus, from that region of Asia. He wants to spend time encouraging them. And Paul says, let's see here, I believe it's in, let's look at verse 19. He says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." He says, "And verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see. Look at verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Paul was determined he wanted to finish the course God had set for him with joy. And even though the Holy Spirit, he says, witnesseth in every city that Paul was going to be met with afflictions and bonds in Jerusalem, yet he said that would not move him from finishing his course. Again, attitude is everything, because attitude helps us to finish the course that God has set us on. I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes this letter to Timothy, his second letter from prison to Timothy. Again, Paul was all about encouraging other people. And here Paul is sitting in prison in Rome, and yet he's writing letters to encourage other people in their faith, to encourage other people not to give up. And when you read the letters to Timothy, he gave Timothy some things to do as a young preacher, as a young pastor. In 1 Timothy, he tells him, you know, how to make sure the men that are chosen to serve in the church, you know, there's some criteria that the men have to have in order to serve in the church. But in 2 Timothy, again, he wants to encourage him in his faith. He wants to encourage him not to give up. And tonight I want us to be encouraged not to give up, because, again, we do live in a world that as a whole does not believe in God. In fact, I was just reading earlier today in the newspaper, The Sword of the Lord, and I had heard this, but I guess I didn't realize where it had taken place. But there are some pro-abortion groups that are determined, as soon as Roe versus Wade is turned over, and it was leaked that that's what the Supreme Court's going to do, there's already groups of pro-abortionists that are starting to just make it miserable for God's people. In Wisconsin, it didn't say which pro-life office it was. You know, there's a lot of pro-life places around. There's one here in Oxford. There's one down in Pontiac to try to help young ladies, you know, realize just the importance of life. Well, there's a pro-life office in Wisconsin that was firebombed by a pro-abortion group. And this pro-abortion group, which has been named, they have named themselves Jane's Revenge. And they have stated that they will continue to firebomb other pro-life clinics around the country. And they even state, this is them stating it, not anyone speculating. They have stated that as soon as it comes out that Roe versus Wade has been overturned, they will start vandalizing churches and just doing all this riot stuff. All right? Now, what does that do for the Christian? Should that cause us to think, oh, the devil's won? No. Because again, Jesus said in the last days it's going to get worse, right? And it really, if they're going to act like that, it really shows that they're just bloodthirsty. They just want to see blood shed. That's the whole point of abortion, is to see the blood shed of innocent lives. Now, I say all that to say this. He's writing from a prison cell. Paul is facing death, yet he wants to encourage Timothy and others to keep the faith, to keep the right attitude. And the right attitude is, who's on the winning side? I'm on the winning side because I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who's gotten us the victory. All right? But notice in verse 6 and 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right? Again, attitude is everything. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. He writes to Timothy and says, "For I am now ready to be offered." He's speaking of his execution. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul knows his time is short. He knows the execution hour is just around the corner. And he goes on to say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith." Paul was able to say that because he kept a right attitude. Even though Paul would walk miles upon miles during his ministry, and he would be even hunted by his own peers, those whom he once served alongside, and they wanted to kill him, and they had to let Paul down in a basket during the night over the wall so that they would not capture him. Whatever happens in our life, again, it doesn't matter what the wicked do. The wicked are going to do what they're going to do. God's still in control. But how we live our life depends upon our attitude, depends upon our thought process. Again, who's on the winning side? We are, as God's people. And there are five biblical insights I want us to think about tonight in regard to attitude, because attitude really is. What is it that's going to help us to remain faithful to God? What is it that's going to help us to remember that, you know what, the devil has some power, but God has all power? What is it that's going to help us every day have the faith that God's on our side? I want you to look with me at Philippians chapter 4 as we think about attitudes are chosen. Our attitude is chosen. Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse 11. Because when I read my Bible, I still read where the Bible tells us that we have the victory. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Again, there are people that want to say there is no God. How does that affect you when someone says there is no God? And they want to give you their excuses of why there is no God. Hopefully, that does not affect you in a negative way. Hopefully, you just have the faith that, you know what, no, there is a God, because my life has been changed and I have testimony what God has done for me in my life. Again, attitude is everything, and attitudes are chosen. In Philippians chapter 4, you look at verse, you know what, let's start at verse number 8. Verse number 8. Now, you know what, let me start at verse number 11, because verse number 8 is the next point. All right, so just look at verse number 11. "Not that I speak," and again, this is Paul, "not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Again, when we think about Paul, Paul writes the majority of the New Testament. He has many letters that he writes to churches, to individuals, and it's all about encouraging them. It's written, these letters are written, especially the letter to the Philippians at Philippi. It's written by a man who has purposed in his heart not to allow his mind to be defiled by fear, by doubt, by anything, but that he would stand firm upon the promises of God, and he would just rely upon the grace of God in his life so he can finish his course well. He did not allow himself to be influenced negatively by anybody, not his own peers, not his own traveling companions, not by those that were on the ship with him headed to Rome. He was always determined to have a right attitude, and that right attitude helps to keep us on the straight and narrow path. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Are we content tonight with our life? And that's a question we have to ask ourselves and be honest. Am I content with my life? You may not be content with your finances. You may not be content with your job. You may not even be content with your marriage. But are you content with your relationship with God? Because God's faithful. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. God provides for us. He's always there. So are we content with what God is doing in our life? Attitudes are chosen, and we must choose to be content with what God is doing or even allowing in our life at different times. Because if I'm content with what God's doing, then I'll stay close to Him. If I'm not content, I will walk away from Him. And I've seen many walk away from the Lord because they're not content with what God is doing. Listen, God knows what's best. God knows what's best for us. And we have to rely upon the Lord. Again, Jesus said it's going to get worse in the last days. Who knows the last days better, us or Him? Again, I want to finish my course well. I want to be able to say at the end of my life, whenever that is, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course that God has given me to do. That's my goal and that's my hope. And we have to choose to have that attitude that I am content with what God is doing in my life. Look back at verse number 8 of Philippians chapter 4, because we have to have good influence to have right attitudes, because our attitudes are influenced by our input. Whatever goes in your ears, whatever goes in your eyes, it affects your attitude towards God. And listen, as a child of God, as a Christian, we don't want our attitudes influenced against God. We want to have a right attitude. We want our countenance to shine bright because we have been spending time with the Lord daily. But look at verse number 8. Again, Paul, he says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, I stopped watching the news a long time ago because I found that when I was watching the news, I was becoming very angry with the news, and it was even coming out in my preaching. I was being influenced negatively by the negativeness that you see in the news. All right? Now, again, we know that social media, we know that the mainstream news, all of that, none of it's godly. And if we feast on those things, we will be impacted negatively. We will have a hardened heart. Again, when Paul says, think on these things, and he lists the things we need to think on, those are the descriptions of God's word. It's a description of God's word. Whatsoever things are true. You can't get any truer than God's word. Whatsoever things are honest. Can't get any more honest. God's honest through his word. And sometimes honesty hurts. I don't know if you've ever read your Bible and it pointed something out that was wrong in your life and you're like, can I skip that part? Because I don't like that. That hurts. But it's honest, right? God's honest through his word. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Listen, I even said it this morning, but again, just because the world legalizes something doesn't mean it's right. Okay, just down in Lake Orion, they've opened up a marijuana place, all right, because, you know, it's been legalized. So how many Christians are going to go to those places because it's been legalized? Well, probably the same Christians that think social drinking is okay, they're going to end up in those places because, hey, it's legal. But is it legal in the sight of God? No. Just because the world says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. We still have to have our thinking biblical. We still have to have biblical thinking. What influences us will influence our attitude. Attitudes are influenced by input. What goes in must come out. In Psalm chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Who is influencing you? Who do you listen to the most? It shouldn't be a lost person. You shouldn't get any counsel from a lost person. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Again, attitude is everything. What's going to help me to live the best years of my life? It's not going to be the counsel of the ungodly, but it's going to be the counsel of God's word. It's going to be God himself. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I still believe in church attendance. I still believe in tithing. I still believe in Bible reading and prayer. I still believe in the things of God. It hasn't changed. But many Christians don't believe those things anymore because they think we live in the 21st century. God's word is still true. God has given us things that help us. There was a pastor in Canada last year during the whole COVID thing. They couldn't have inside church, so they had church outside. While the Canadian Prime Minister was at the G7 summit meeting, having their meeting outside, this pastor was having a meeting outside with his church, social distancing and everything. The helicopters come and are hovering over his property. Paratroopers come down and they arrest him and put him in prison. What are we going to do when that happens here in America? Would we still be true to the Lord? Would we still stand up for what's right? Or would we allow ourselves to be influenced by the evilness that is in this world? Again, I'm not saying we need to go out and cause problems. What I'm saying is, how strong is our faith? What type of attitude do we have to the things of God? If they outlaw the Bible, which they've already have been going down that road, calling this hate speech, what will we do? What is our attitude towards the things of God? I'm convicted by the attitude of those I read in Scripture and those I hear in the old days that were willing to die for their faith. They were willing to stand up for that. I mean, you think about Paul, you think about Peter, those you read in the Bible, they were willing to stand up for what they believed in. Their attitude was influenced by their relationship with God. Look at James chapter 4, verse 1. Because our attitude is affected by our relationships. Some relationships you can choose, some you can't. If you're already married and your spouse happens to be lost or not walking with the Lord, but what if you have a coworker? What if you have somebody that wants to be your friend that's lost and they want to give you counsel? Again, we're living in the days where God's people have to stand up for what's right. And we have to choose. It's not a great subject, but it's a right subject. Attitudes are affected by our relationships. James chapter 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts at war in your members? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts at war in your members? Paul says in Philippians 2, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You know, we talked about Christ this morning, you know, in Sunday school, being that servant leader, that leader servant, having that servant's heart, even though he is God. Yet he humbled himself and he washed the disciples' feet. And we are to have the same attitude as well, that we are servants. No one's greater than anybody else, but we are here to serve alongside each other and to have that mentality, that heart that, you know what, I want to be able to encourage others in the Lord. I want to be able to encourage others to do what's right. Listen, no Christian should choose a lost person to be their mate. Young people do it all the time. Young people do it all the time. And I'm talking about, look, you know that it's wrong. You know that you shouldn't. And yet you do it because the person just is looking for love. They want to be loved because their home life isn't right. They need to be encouraged. No, that's not the path you want to go down. You want God to bring your spouse to you. God has a perfect spouse for you. I say it because, listen, young people, are leaving the churches. Where's the next generation? And as there's young people in here, and they're pretty much my kids, you're the next generation. I mean, unfortunately, with Joshua, when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," yet the next chapter is very sad. There arose another generation that knew not the Lord. I mean, they didn't choose to follow the Lord. Now, that's not on us. I mean, we tell them what they need to do. We tell them the right way. Well, they got to make that choice. But look, what I'm saying is that if we know what's right, then we need to choose to do what's right. We need to have that attitude, God is always right. And I will be blessed if I follow the ways of the Lord. Now, you read the Bible, and Jesus says in the last days, there are going to be perilous times. Rumors of wars, all these things are going to be happening. And we just, you look at our country right now, you have never seen our country in the state that it is in. It's never been like this before in all of its history. But the Bible's true. We're in those days where they call good evil and evil good, where they are promoting sin as normal. And they're calling righteousness wicked. They're calling the things of God wicked. The things of the devil are good in this world. But our attitude still needs to be, God is right. And I want my heart to follow the ways of the Lord. How was Paul able to finish his course? He had a right attitude. And the attitude was, God's on my side. God's going to guide me. God's going to lead me. God's going to provide for me. And God will prevail. Look, I want you to look at, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23. Just as you see more and more things happening. Again, right is still right. Abortion is still wrong. I don't care what title they give it. I mean, now they want to have the phrase reproductive rights. Yeah, you do. You have the right to reproduce. But you don't have the right to kill a baby that you don't want. And we as God's people do not need to allow ourselves to have the attitude or the mentality that, well, you know, it's okay. It's not okay. Because there are some Christians that think it's okay and get upset when you try to tell them that it's wrong. It's like, wait a minute, you're a Christian, you say you believe in Christ, you follow Christ, but you're upset because you think abortion is right? What happened? What's wrong with the thinking? Because they've been influenced. And we don't want to be influenced by the world. We want to be influenced by our Heavenly Father through His Word. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Attitudes are both the cause and the result of right behavior. Again, having the proper attitude, the attitude that, you know what, God is right and I'm wrong. Having the attitude that God's ways are the right ways. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" You know what happened. But both Abel and Cain came and brought their sacrifice to the Lord. It's not that Cain didn't know. He just wanted to do it his way. Abel brings a sacrifice, brings a lamb sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Cain decides to bring, you know, some fruit and vegetables to the Lord and says, you know, I've tilled this garden, I've grown these things, and here you go. Here's the work of my hands. And God said, no. And obviously, you know, Cain is wroth, he's upset. He's mad at Abel because Abel did the right thing. It's amazing how when someone does wrong, they're always mad at the people that do right. Why is that? Why not be mad at yourself for doing wrong? No, they're always mad at the person that does right. And they want to blame that person. And here the Lord speaks to Cain and says, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Now listen, here is God speaking directly to Cain, giving Cain a chance to really settle down, change his attitude towards his brother. He's eyeing his brother. He's jealous at his brother. And God comes and tells him, look, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted. You'll be accepted by God. And yet, you know the end of the story. Cain still kills his brother. God comes to him and says, hey, Cain, your attitude's not right. I've had a bad attitude at times. And God said to him, your attitude's not right. But God, you don't understand. You don't, and God's like, your attitude's not right. But Cain does what's in his heart. He kills his brother. That made him feel better. Get rid of the one that's doing right so I feel better about my wrong. But it's amazing when you read the rest of that story and God comes to Cain and God punishes Cain. Cain says, it's too much for me to bear. That's not fair. But wait, it wasn't fair for Cain to kill his brother. What I'm saying is that be careful, your sin will find you out. God knows our heart. And God chastises his children for our good. And when bad happens because we've chosen to do wrong, because our attitude wasn't right, we can't get mad at God when the consequence comes. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 1 and we'll end with this. First John chapter 1, look at verse 9 and 10. Verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, what does it mean to sin? It means to go against the ways of God. But sometimes we like to minimize our sin. Sometimes we like to excuse our sin. But God says, if we say that we have not sinned, meaning, you know what, I don't think it's wrong, then we make God a liar who in his word has already pointed out what it is. and his word is not in us, meaning we don't believe his word. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. It's, you know, it's having that attitude that I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, again, that's Cain. That's even a child that maybe breaks something. So, well, it's not my fault. The rock that went through the window, it's the rock's fault. Just because I threw it, I mean, the rock should have, you know, bounced off the window. It wasn't Adam's fault that he ate the forbidden fruit. Remember, he says, it's not my fault. It's her fault. Actually, no, he said, it's your fault, God. The woman thou gavest me, it's her fault. But really, it's your fault, because if you hadn't given me this woman to be my wife, then she wouldn't have gave me the fruit and I would not have eaten of it. And obviously, Eve says, it's not my fault. It's the serpent's fault. Nobody ever wants to take blame for their own actions. We always want to blame somebody else. But if we're right with God and we want to be right with God and we have the attitude that, you know what, I know I'm not perfect, but I sure want to strive to be godly. I sure want to strive to always speak the truth. I sure want to strive to have the Spirit of God illuminating in my life. I sure do want the voice of God to be clear in my life. I want to be directed in my life by God. Having that attitude that, you know what, I know that I am susceptible to sometimes making the wrong decision based on what I think, and Lord, I want you to guide me and to direct me. Lord, I know sometimes I'll give in to peer pressure, because I don't want to ruffle feathers. I don't want to, you know, cause any strife with somebody. So I won't even say what's true just so there's no, you know, backlash or anything. No, we need to have the attitude that, you know, we need to speak the truth. We need to be able to speak the truth. We need to have that attitude, honestly, as God's people, that God is right and following the Lord is the right thing to do. Because I know that God will bless. He tells Cain, if you do right, you'll be accepted. Now, when you think about just the attitude, again, in the days we're living in, now is the time for God's people to draw closer to God, not push away from him. And how do you draw closer to God? Through his word. And while you draw closer to God through his word, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is fed in a way that he becomes stronger in your life, because the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. But we have to surrender ourselves to one or the other. And having that attitude that, you know what, God's way is the right way. Even if my whole family does not want to follow God, I'm still going to follow the Lord. I'm still going to put him first in my life. Even if people in my church are not following the Lord, I'm still going to follow the Lord. Now, people in your church should be following the Lord, because that's we're a called out body of believers, right? But again, attitude does determine our actions. Attitude does determine our actions. Why is a rebel a rebel? Because of his attitude. Why did I break rules as a teenager? Because of my attitude. Why did I not obey my parents? Because of my attitude. And guess what? I got into trouble. But when we as God's people have the attitude towards God, I want to finish the race he's put me in. I want to finish this course because, you know what? I want to bring glory to God with the life that he's given. And having the attitude of, you know what, my life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. And I want to be able to present to him a life that glorifies him. And how we do that is really surrendering to him, submitting our ways to him, following his ways that are laid out in Scripture for our benefit and his glory, And having that attitude that, you know what? I know that God is with me every day, and I know that if God brings me to it, he'll bring me through it. I know that God will give me the grace to handle anything he allows in my life, and I'm going to continue to hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him. I'm going to saturate my heart and mind with the truth of his word so that I'm not influenced by the lies of the world. I'm not influenced by non-believers, but I'm influenced by God and even encouraged by other believers. Again, Paul, there in Acts 20, he stops and he calls these bishops, these other men of God, to him so he can pray with them, encourage them. He writes his letters from prison to encourage others to, hey, stay the course that God's given you. Remain faithful. And the only reason why Paul was able to say, I finished my course, I fought a good fight, is because he kept the right attitude. And some may say, well, you know, Paul never had a bad day in his life. Well, you go back and you read in the book of Acts, and first place Paul went to, they drug him out of the city and stoned him and left him for dead. The typical Christian would have, because the Bible says that Paul regained his consciousness, those that wanted to kill him thought he was dead, they left him. But he got up. The typical Christian would get up and say, you know what? I've had it. That's it. I tried God. This is where it got me. I'm not doing it anymore. But Paul, when you read, went right back into the city and didn't leave till the next day because he had a right attitude. Sure, was he hurt? Yeah. Was he bleeding? Yep. But his attitude was, I'm not going to let the devil run me out of town. I will leave when God tells me to leave. And he left the next day to go to another city. What I'm saying is, let God be the one that dictates your life, not the world, not other people. Have the attitude that my God is just that. He's my God. He's in control of my life, and I will follow him wherever he leads me.